Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, you are welcome to call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're a little radio shy, feel free to email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my special guest for tonight, I just want to make an announcement about our upcoming healing weekend. As we're getting closer and closer, we only have to go through February, March, and by the end of April, we'll be gathering near Dulles, Virginia, to meet some wonderful women, have some wonderful speakers who are going to help you get, you know, further into the healing process. That's what the Healing Weekend is about. It's about helping people move along this process by uniting women with other women who have either traveled that road or are traveling the road. Also, I will have some wonderful professionals. Kathy Holquin will be coming in from California to do a workshop. Kim Brooks from the Maryland area will be coming in to do a workshop. And I'm really excited about our special guest, and maybe even Suzette Vernon might be coming. I'm pressuring her a little bit. So we'll have some wonderful extra help and support. And if you're interested in this, just write me an email at bonkay@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you the details so that you can start moving along on your recovery. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce a special friend of mine, Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Bonnie.
Thank you so much for returning to our show. I like to have Chris on here a couple times a year and impose on her because I feel she's so inspirational to so many of our women. Chris has been part of our support group for a number of years now, And boy, since I've met you, how your life has changed, right?
Absolutely. When I first met you was a few months before my divorce became final. Became involved in your online discussion group and then went to one of your healing weekends in Philadelphia, and my life was just starting to come together after having figured out what was going on in my marriage and figured out how to escape it. So now here I am. I've been divorced for a few years and have found, much to my surprise, a wonderful man to have in my life. And so, yeah, everything is completely different.
Yeah, so when I look at pictures of you and your boyfriend or man friend or soulmate, I mean, I'm just always so happy looking at those pictures because he seems like one wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Who just seems so in sync with you, and you always seem so happy with him.
We're having a great
time. And you've been together for how long now?
Well, I met him in 2011, and we were just friends for a while,
right.
For about a year. And then, so we started dating in 2012, and for part of that, for about two years, he was out of the country with the Navy. So he's back now. We had lived together for a year this week.
Oh, well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
As I remember, while he was away, and you couldn't wait for the moment that he got back.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I was counting down the days with you.
Yes, long distance was not very fun, although it had its benefits, I think, in hindsight. And we certainly weren't going to give up on it, because
mm-hmm.
even after a few months together, we knew things were good.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you kind of know that when you're going to these relationships and you had time to heal from your marriage and you can just jump into something, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess his being sent overseas kind of forced us not to jump so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he was gone and we got to see each other once over the 2 years he was gone. But other than that, it was all on Skype and by email and mail. So it kind
mm-hmm.
of slowed us down a little bit. But
that's okay. You know why? Because you needed time for healing.
I think so.
You know, it's really hard to enter a new relationship if you hadn't had time to heal yourself.
Right.
And healing is a process that doesn't happen in a month or two, as you know and I know and our women all know.
Absolutely.
And you want to make sure you're on steady ground, right?
Right. And I'm still finding things, areas that are still not the way I used to be, not the way I necessarily want to be, but my experience as a straight spouse absolutely changed me. And although most of that is healing, I think some of the scars are always missing here.
I agree. There are a lot of scars that remain for a long time, although I will tell you, because I've probably been away from the marriage longer than most people, some of them really do heal when you have the right relationship. You know, you can learn how to trust again and how to have faith in someone again and not have to worry every time they're walking out the door that something's happening. But that took me a lot of years that I was in doubt with my relationship. And I, you know, my boyfriend didn't give me any reason to be suspicious, but after coming out of one of these marriages, I just automatically was. Because
right.
I think one of the biggest problems is we lose faith, right?
We do, and we lose trust in our own ability to assess things.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was thinking today, I spent so much time and mental energy convincing myself that what my ex-husband said was true, in spite of all the evidence I saw, that I taught myself to not believe my own observations. Which was very helpful for him at the time, but
mm-hmm.
I've had to relearn to trust my gut, you know. So here I am with this, I've decided I'm too old to have a boyfriend, he's my person of interest, but here I am with this utterly trustworthy, wonderful person of interest.
Wait a minute, I'm not too old, why are you too old?
it just seems silly, you know. My son has a girlfriend, but whatever, you know, I could enjoy it. But here he is utterly trustworthy, and I had to remind myself at first that I could trust him because what I saw and what he said completely matched up, which was not an experience I had in my marriage.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about your marriage for people who haven't heard you here before, because they always have lots of new women listening in. And one of the things I'd like to ask you a little bit about is, first of all, how many years were you married?
We were married 21 years plus the 4 years that he fought the divorce. So officially, 25.
Okay. And he was very controlling, I would think, right?
Yes. He was completely controlling from before we even got married.
Mm-hmm.
And was very insistent that I change many things about myself to be worthy of being married.
And I think that's one of the first mistakes we all make, but, you know, as the first to make them, that we try to change ourselves because we don't understand what's going on with them. And even if we do have an idea of what's going on with them, we always think if we did better, they wouldn't be thinking things like this. Right?
Absolutely. And my ex would tell me, I need you to do X, Y, Z so that I can be a better husband.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, that's ridiculous. You know, he's completely in control of who he is and how he behaves and what he says to me and my treatment. But it was very convenient for him to make everything he did my fault. So I accepted that for a long time.
In fact, one of the things I'm writing about in the newsletter that's 2 days late, but it will be out tomorrow, I wrote an article about why these men are so controlling, and I tell people the reason they're so controlling, and I think that, you know, from the women you know and I know, that's a very common theme, that their husbands are controlling. And so I explain to them they're very controlling because they have no control of their sexuality. The only thing they do have control on is you, because you allow them to, because it's not mm-hmm. something that happens overnight. It's a process where they know how to push all the buttons to make us lose our confidence. They alienate people away from us. I know that in my case, my ex-husband made sure to make sure nobody was coming around. He would start arguments with my family. He would be mean to my friends. He would have fights with me when anybody came over, so that people just stopped wanting to come over because he was so afraid that his secret would come out. And he used to threaten me, if it comes out and you tell anybody this, and I'm leaving, and that's the end. And, you know, it's too weak to say, okay, go. You know, just every day that you live in these, you get more beaten down, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, mine said the same sorts of things. If you say anything that will harm my security clearance or ruin my reputation, you'll never see our kids again.
Yeah, that's what mine said, too. We'll never see the kids.
Yep, well, by then, obviously he knew that was the most effective thing to use with me because I was no longer just accepting whatever he had to say. I was no longer quietly acquiescing to his demands. I was arguing with him and demanding a divorce and telling him that as soon as it was possible, I would leave. And he knew I meant but having our children together, he knew that they mattered to me almost more than my own life.
Mm-hmm.
So I risked my life to stay with them for a lot longer than I probably could.
Right, those are years of your life that he took that you can never get back. And that's what I feel so bad about with women, that every day you stay married to a gay man is one day of your life that you will never get back. You know, you throw your life away with this. The months turn into years, the years turn into decades, and we see women who sit there lingering for 15, 20 years, 30 years, because they're afraid to leave. And that's because they don't have the strength and the self-confidence, right?
Right, and I think they have just, like you said, have gotten so beaten down that they can't make moves for themselves. So, we sit here trying to wait and be patient and be supportive and hope things will get better, and they just won't. So
I know. I feel so bad when women write to me and they ask me that, Chris. You know, like they'll write to me and they'll say, well, isn't there a chance they're going to get better? And I always hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I said, no, they're going to get worse. They don't get better.
Hmm.
They resent you more and more that you're living with them.
Right.
You know, they get you into these marriages and then they blame you that they're trapped because you're stopping them from having their natural born life, being a gay man. Did you feel like that too with yours?
I did. And toward the end, I would tell him, go, you know, go be happy. You find yourself a man, I'll find myself a man. We'll both be happy. And he couldn't accept it.
Mm-hmm. So when did you start realizing there was something off with him?
From the very beginning, if I'm honest with myself.
That's okay.
But,
me too.
But it wasn't that I thought he was gay. And other people warned me about him, and nobody said they thought he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
What people said to me was that he was a womanizer. He was constant, and he was constantly flirting with other women and ignoring me in public places. You know, if we'd go to a party, he would pay attention to every other woman in the room and not me. So I obviously never thought that he was gay. And so I was
like you, because I had so many women who were going after my ex-husband, and he was always bragging about it, that I had no reason to think that it was anything but women.
Right.
Until I would start catching him, but I'm saying shorter than that. It was very easy to confuse us also, because you think that gay means somebody's attracted to men and who would go after men, but when they have so many women around them, you know, when I know a lot of the women would just fall gaga over my ex-husband because he was very personable, he was very funny, he was very handsome. So a lot of women would just say, oh, my God, you're so lucky. You know, you're so lucky you're married to him. And I said, it's just so amazing what people can't see and how superficial they are. But I guess I was the same way, so I can't really say anything.
Yeah, you know, they fooled us. And we were
right,
paying.
So why shouldn't they fool everybody else, right?
Right.
I was always warned not to sit and discuss what was going on in our home or in our bedroom,
that would be
for that matter.
Loyal.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we felt, and that's why we protected them, right?
Yes, I didn't talk about it for many, many years. And when I finally did tell some of my friends that I was planning on divorcing, the first thing that most of them said was, but you've never, ever criticized him. You've never complained about him even once in all the years I've known you. And I thought, yeah, well, it's not because I had nothing to complain about. I just wasn't going to complain. So,
let me ask you a question. When did you first start catching on that gay might be the issue? How far into the marriage?
Well, really on the honeymoon. He had no interest in me. Now, of course, I was 20 when I married him, and rather inexperienced because, of course, he had said we had to wait till we got married. So I didn't really know what I was looking at, and he assured me that I was just filled with, you know, ideas from the media or whatever on what marriage was like and what honeymoons were like. And of course, nobody's having that much sex on their honeymoon. People just don't really do that. That's just in the book. So, and he managed to turn it around so that not only was I deluded to have this idea that people on their honeymoon should be wanting to have sex with each other, I was also immoral to tell him that instead of reading the Bible every morning, we should be having sex because we were on our honeymoon. So, you know, it was my fault. It was my fault for wanting, it was my fault for saying anything. But honestly, we spent a lot of time with men on our honeymoon. Let me just put it that way.
And how long ago were you married, Chris?
We were
around
divorced
what year?
In 2013.
What year did you get married?
88.
Okay, so 1988, I always say this, a lot of gay men were really hiding out back then. And that was one of the times when they were hoping that Mother Nature really made a mistake, because that's when AIDS was at its height and had taken over the country with the gay community, right?
Yes, and I think even among the straight community, we were, you know, I was a teenager, or a young teenager when AIDS first came out. I think that that changed our generation and made us a lot more conservative, actually.
It did.
The people a few years older than us, because we didn't have that party, club scene, relaxed thing that a lot of people did in the 70s, because we all knew, you know, there was disease coming around. So, yeah, I think that my ex-husband was afraid of AIDS. Not afraid enough to not have sex with men, but too afraid of it to admit that he had sex.
Yeah, I think they were all afraid of it, and they thought that, you know, this would be the way that they could avoid it. And
right.
They got married, and they really did. I really do believe in my heart they really were hoping that, you know, that they wouldn't be gay if they had a wife. And maybe they could force themselves to be in love. And maybe when they had children, their focus would change. I know that we were very naive back then. And, you know, so little was known about AIDS when it first came full force. And everybody was looking to avoid it because it was a death sentence then.
Right.
Automatically. So men didn't want to die. And women, like you said, you know, I grew up in the era before of sexual promiscuity. But now all of a sudden, with AIDS running rampant, women became extremely conservative, like you mentioned. And girls were also afraid of getting AIDS. And so they were having very minimal sex compared to the generation before when I was growing up. So with little sexual experience, it's sometimes hard to really define when you see something that's wrong. Would you say that was part of it?
I am sure that was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what do you know about sex
also,
when you're 18, 20, or 22, right?
Right. I knew nothing, basically. I knew it was something that I wanted to try to do, but I really hadn't before. So
and
yeah,
that's
I
a problem.
It was. I at this point, I would never recommend to a young person that they stay celibate before marriage. I think it's the worst advice you can give to a
I agree.
And
I think you have to have safe sex.
I'm with my friends about it.
No, I think it's a reality for women, although there's still no guarantee. Because if you don't have sexual experience before your gay husband, then he tells you this is what's normal, how would you know?
Exactly. So I tell people you need to have sex with a couple people that you don't think can't be your husband. You know, people who are just fun people, nice people that you can trust or whatever. So that you can see what sex is before you bind yourself legally and with children and all these other ways to someone who could have very strong reasons to mislead you.
And I was married, you know, before my husband, gay husband, to actually a couple times to straight husbands. So I had plenty of sexual experience before I married him. And even though I knew our sex wasn't the same, we were still having it, you know, maybe not the same way as before with other people, but, you know, we had it a couple times a week. He was able to pull it off. And if he didn't do something that made me happy, you know, I would try to say to him, well, you know, I need this or I need that. You know, I didn't say it at first, but when I saw nothing was happening that I needed, and I tried to discuss it, and he got very angry at me. He said, you know what, nobody's ever complained about this before. But, of course, I didn't know at that point that he's never been with anybody before.
Right.
So that's probably didn't complain about it. But because so many women were so gaga over him, and he's played the ladies' man so well, I really thought, well, maybe it's just different here. I don't know. But I knew I couldn't live like that forever, so I had to address it. So he minimally tried a little bit, but it didn't last very long.
No, my ex didn't really try very much at all.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a little bit of sex now and then, but especially in the beginning, it was, you know, maybe every 8 weeks or 2 years we were married.
How old was he when he married you?
26.
20 what?
He was 23. I was 20. So, looking back, you know, I have sons that age, and that's what they're doing. They're having sex. And so was my husband, just not with me.
Exactly. They are having sex, just not with us.
Yeah.
Just not with other women. They're having sex with guys.
Right.
But of course, they will never tell you that.
Yes. Eventually, my ex-husband would allude to it somewhat, but we had been married a good 15 years and had 4 kids before he would ever talk about it. And even then, he would not say, I have had sex with men. He would just talk about other men, about seeing their penises or watching them masturbate.
Mm-hmm. Another unstraight activity that we've learned about,
yes.
Right?
Yes, that's not a thing that guys are going to do with other guys. It's just not.
I don't think so. Not straight men, anyway.
No, not straight men. Yeah.
Mine had his moments of weakness, so he called it like once or twice. But he said it wasn't because of anything sexually attractive. It just happened. And in my desperation for not wanting to break up a family, I kind of just bought into it and bargained with him and said, well, you know, after I found out the first time, and I was like devastated. I was just throwing up all over. I said, look, I thought about it and thought about it, and I said, this is what I can live with. If you have to go out and every 6 months see somebody on the side, and I never have to know about it because I was thinking my worst scenario is he's, quote, bisexual. Because he still was having sex with me, so I knew he couldn't be gay, or so I thought.
Right.
And so if he has this other need that once every blue moon I don't have to find out about, that I guess I could live with it as long as I didn't know about it. But once you get an inch, you know, they take it as a foot, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, once you say, give them a little permission, then they think, shoo, I'm out of the woods now and I can do what I want to do. She's not going to do anything about it.
Right.
And that's what happened. He just then became just more visible with his activity. And one of the things I do want to mention, you know, I told a few of our women that, and I'm writing about it in an upcoming newsletter coming out tomorrow, is that I'm really tired of political correctness. I'm really tired of tiptoeing around the issue. I see too many women whose lives, you know, just linger on and get destroyed. One of the biggest reasons is they claim that they don't have any proof. And I know this is a fact. Sometimes you just don't have the proof you need, and you can't put all the signs together like you could try, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get what you're looking for. And, you know, women say, well, how can I go and say he's gay? I just know. I have this instinct. I have this gut feeling. I see him with this guy. I see him with that guy. But I've never caught them. So one of the things I've done is I've found spyware where you can actually record their conversations. Well, they'll never know that you're recording them. And I think it's the best thing that I've ever seen. You know, I bought one for myself just to see if it will really work, and it really works dynamite. And this way, when you leave your house, you know, and you know he's going to be there on the computer, on the telephone, just leave it on. It just goes on for like 70 hours. And you can hear any conversation, you know, that's going on there, and I think that'll be a major help. Don't you think it's a good idea?
You know, it might be. My ex-husband is a very skilled hacker. I could not have used that on him. He actually hacked me. He was tracking my behavior for many
years. Right, but I'm saying, like, let's say he was in the house and he was doing something. If he was talking to someone, you could hear any plans that he's making. He would never know.
Yeah.
It's not on the computer.
Yeah,
it's a little device.
Right, yeah. It
has nothing to do with being in, changing it.
A lot of women. Although, I will tell you, I don't have, you know, I've met women at your weekend who have pictures of their husbands, ex-husbands, having sex, pictures of them during sex with other men. And I've talked to men who have recordings of it, and it doesn't make you feel any better to have that evidence.
I know. It doesn't make you feel better, but it confirms for you instead of you going crazy looking for proof.
Right.
And
what I did, eventually I stopped looking for proof, and I started looking for a new life for myself, and the proof I got when I had sex with a heterosexual man. It was so utterly different that that was...
It really is, isn't it?
It's completely different, yeah.
Was that scary for you?
It was not scary, but it made me angry. because I thought, damn it, I have wasted my youth. I have wasted a quarter of a century on this man. And all I needed was an afternoon with a straight guy to realize it was a lie.
I think that's the biggest proof you can get.
It is. But you're not going to get that from watching your ex-husband or your current husband. You'll get it from moving on.
Yeah. Well, it can hurt to watch him, too, before you move on, if you need
right.
that proof. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
someone
think,
didn't say, unless
I
have proof.
Right. And I
think so now I'm going to help you get proof if you need
as
it.
Cagey as my ex. So probably, yeah, there's lots of ways that would help.
Yes, for me too. I wish I would have had this back in my day. I could have gotten through times a lot easier and not feel as threatened. And in fact, it's part of my campaign this year that I'm writing about also, that really starting to research his fault divorce and or your fault divorce, because I just feel so bad when women are taken advantage of by men who know they can still manipulate you or still hurt you. And your ex-husband wasn't one who just let you off the hook that easily, right?
No, he's still fighting me. I mean, you know, we're divorced now. He can't make me move back into the basement ever again. But he still is fighting me in court. He's still not paying alimony unless, you know, we force it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a piece of work.
He's still controlling the situation.
As best you can, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's come to realize that, you know, I've moved out, I've moved away, we're legally divorced, and I don't need him, I don't like him, and he's gotten used to that. But it's been a long road convincing him that I'm a boring target. So for the most part, he leaves me alone.
Yes, I think this is one of the problems that some of our women have. Their husbands just won't leave them alone. You know, when they're such control freaks, it becomes a game to them of, even after you leave, of trying to make your life miserable. In other words, they have nothing better to do but to try to make your life terrible. Because they can't be happy if you're happy.
Right, because that proves that you're better off without them.
Mm-hmm.
And it proves that they were not the fantastic husbands and fathers that they say they were.
Mm-hmm. And they get angry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my ex gets very angry. Got really angry when he met my boyfriend. And, you know.
How did that work out?
You know, it was very subtle. I think if you didn't know my ex, you wouldn't notice. But one of our many visits to court, I brought my boyfriend with me because I didn't want to go by myself. And my ex-husband walked up to him and shook his hand, and I could just see it on his face. Wasn't comfortable with this much more masculine man sitting next to me.
I know that my ex used to say to me, "You'll never find anyone who loves you as much as I do." And
yes, my ex said that too. No one will ever love you like I do. And I said, I hope to God not. And so far, I'm rather fortunate no one has.
But I think that a lot of times when we're beaten down, we really believe that. And we know how little they love us, so we just don't think we're lovable at all.
Yes, I did. For many years, I thought, if my husband, who loves me and is committed to me, wants nothing to do with me physically and won't flirt with me and doesn't like to go places with me and finds my conversation boring, I must be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so fortunate to tolerate.
I think that's the worst part, you know, the battering down of who we are. I know that I really lost myself in my marriage, and I was a strong woman going in, but I fell down fast.
So was I. Absolutely. I fell down so fast, and I did not recognize myself for many, many years. So it was only after I had moved out that I would start to do things that were meek. Shortly before I moved out, somebody I worked with asked me what I did for fun, and I just sat there and said, I don't know. Because I didn't do things for fun. I didn't do anything because I wanted to do them. I did things because I needed to get home. You know, it was work, housework, and taking care of the kids. I loved spending time with them, but at the time, you know, I was raising four sons in middle school and high school, and they are fun people, but that's not a fun job.
All right, so, they're fun. Exactly, yeah. But it's a big responsibility.
I
didn't even have faith in my ability as a mother because he kept telling me I was a terrible mother.
Yeah, see, my ex-husband said I was a fantastic mother right up until I asked him for a divorce. And then I became a negligent mother who didn't want to be a mother and wanted to leave him so that I could get away from our kids.
And he convinced the children of that too, right?
He did for a while. My oldest son told me a couple years ago, it's interesting, after the divorce, they will come to me and speak about what they saw and how they felt. And he said when he was about 15, just several years before I moved out, he said, Dad would come to me and cry and say how much he loved me and he didn't understand why I wanted to leave. And it was breaking his heart. And he would go to this big, long lecture about how awful it was and I was ruining his life. And he said, and at first I believed him and I felt kind of bad, so I started watching you. And then I realized it was all a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was... I mean,
but it's really easy to manipulate children's minds, too.
Yes.
Right?
Because, of course, the kids only knew my husband. He was the only father they'd ever had. So they had never seen me treated the way a straight man treats a woman he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was
it's really sad.
They started dating so that they could see when I'm with a girl I like, these are things I do, you know, that they're just for me.
I think that's the toughest part of all is when you have children and you have a husband who's an enemy to you. And even if he's not that much of an enemy before you want to get a divorce, but once you tell him, this is it, I can't do this anymore, then he will turn you into the person who caused the chaos in the family. We had a happy family until she messed it up.
Yeah.
Or your mother's a liar, or your mother's a cheat, or, you know, they'll say all kinds of things.
Yes. I was
to make you look bad.
I decided to have a midlife crisis because I didn't want to raise children. Now, of course, like people on the radio, you don't know me, but people who know me know. I was just a mother for many, many years and very happy to be a mother. And now that my divorce is behind me, I'm getting some of that joy back. But he did everything he could to keep me from having time with my children and trust something.
And we have a couple of other women in our group who really suffer now because of that. That their husbands just want to control the situation, so they either make up stuff about the mother, so the mother will lose the children, or they make it so hard on the mother, you know, or they leave her so bankrupt with no money, and she's only been a housewife, and she can't take care of the children on her own. So they'll just do everything to make their lives harder. Just because they want to control the mother, not because they really love their children,
right?
But because they
want
to get back at their mother.
Yeah, they're a very effective pawn in his game.
Mm-hmm.
Less so now because they're older. You know, all my children are legal adults now. So,
okay, good.
So I'm much
But he did everything
free.
He could to alienate them from you, right?
He did. He tried really hard and was successful to an extent with some of my children. I have one son who didn't speak to me for 2 years. Through the latter half of his high school career, didn't speak to me at all because he believed everything that his father said. And we have since reunited some, you know, but those are 2 years I'll never get back. I didn't get to see him go to prom. I didn't graduate high school, you know. I missed a couple girlfriends, and I miss it. I still miss it. But they're older now. My youngest is 19, and I can tell myself, you know, I learned really well, married to my ex, how to make myself believe things that I needed to believe, and that's almost always to my detriment. But it's a skill I can use now to say, my youngest son is 19. It's normal that I don't live with my kids, you know, because
yep,
they're old enough to be
certainly do
college
teach us
now.
Things, right?
Yep.
We can definitely learn from them.
Learn it. Yes, so it's good to pick those things and turn them into something that benefits you at last instead of something that just benefits them.
Yeah, they are definitely a learning experience for the most part.
Yeah,
that's not
that I want.
That, well, there are some gay husbands who are really good.
Yes, but
you know,
as far
as being a father and being. Yeah, I mean, but there are others who just you know, they have an illusion of grandeur when it's really not the case. You know, because they're narcissistic and they're only looking to have somebody feed off of them. So they can come on like the good dad for a while because they want everybody to admire them. But it's not genuine. It's just an act.
I think.
And they'll jilt at the first opportunity, right?
Absolutely. So I know some women who have experienced, you know, a kind, loving father and a husband who realizes he should not have married her and going to make amends.
Exactly.
I hear those stories, and I'm happy for those women, but that was not my experience at all.
Right. And I don't think it's most of our experiences, but I definitely noticed some.
Right.
You know, I definitely I think so, a few, anyway. But,
because honestly, a good man would not do this. They just would not. They would find other ways to live their lives that don't involve lying to somebody that they say they love.
Well, like I say, I think it's confusing for them, too, and they don't want to be gay. So they feel like if they can find a woman who they really love, that they won't have to be gay. So I don't think necessarily there's ill intent there. But at what point do they start compartmentalizing and start accepting responsibility that they're taking for screwing up in the relationship? Which leads to my next point that I wanted to bring out, that, you know, I'm really going to work this year on that no-fault divorce, as I was telling you earlier. But I found out the states where adultery is considered to be a reason for fault divorce. And the reason why I think fault divorce is so important is because I don't want to have a no-fault divorce when there is fault involved. And in some states, that really counts towards you getting a better settlement. The problem is that in some states, gay affairs with other men, you know, men having affairs with men is not considered adultery.
That was
and
the
this
case
is the problem.
That was the case in Maryland where I divorced. And my husband, being rather clever, managed to ensure that I would cheat on him so that he had grounds. And I did not. Even though, you know, he's the one, he's been cheating for 20 solid years by the time I left. And had given me a sexually-transmitted disease. But he saw me flirting with other men, and that gave him enough that he could say, I bet I have grounds. And even aside from that, I think a lot of people, even within the court system, are so naive that they can't wrap their head around the idea that a man would fraudulently marry you knowing he was gay. So when a woman comes to divorce court and says, my husband is gay, they think that you're just an angry woman trying to get out of a marriage, not that you're a gay marriage to a gay man.
But now it doesn't even count, you know, in most states. And so I want to change that. And I'm, you know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to go to the gay community to help me. And do you know why I'm going to do that? Because I feel they're being discriminated against. The fact that they could go out and have an affair and it's not considered adultery means they're not looked at equally to us.
And
how do you like that,
Anna? Also, they're going to be gay people who are married to other gay people, and one of them's going to cheat, and they're going to want to use adultery as grounds for their divorce.
Right.
And now they...
I think it'll be interesting. You know, I'm working with some lawyers on this to see what the best strategy is. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, But if we can get one state to, you know, make a difference, and maybe some others will follow in suit. But I think also it will change our image of being victims. I hate being a victim and having that image. I'd rather us be victors, where we feel like we're winners, and not on the losing end of this. Because why should we have to pay for a divorce for no fault where there is fault? This is not like two people who don't get together and, you know, just made a mistake. This is something totally different. We had entered into these marriages and planned to be with them forever, right?
Absolutely, I did.
And it wasn't because of mutual differences that you split up. It was because we have gay husbands, right?
Right.
It's not the same as growing apart or meeting somebody else. This is because somebody's lying to you. And look how many of our women have some kind of sexually transmitted disease. We have a lot of women like this.
Yes, I am very fortunate. The disease I caught was curable. Because I could have done much worse.
Yeah, you could have. But the point is, you had it bad enough anyway.
Right.
But like I say, for our women who have HIV, who have herpes, who have gonorrhea, syphilis, you know, PVC virus, all these different sexually transmitted diseases. And I never forget the story of one of our women who I love very much. She's in Florida, and she told me the story a few months ago, and I was just so sick for the rest of the day that she had met her husband when she was young. And she was very sexually naive. You know, she's older than I am, so that generation virtually knew nothing. And when she first got married, and she really didn't know much of anything, and she knew that sex wasn't feeling very good for her, but she thought maybe it's her. And her husband came up, you know, a year or two later with syphilis, and, you know, she went and got examined, and when she told him, he started screaming at her, "What did you do? Who were you sleeping with?" Knowing that he was a very innocent girl who wouldn't have slept with anybody. He was the one out there cheating.
Right.
And, you know, he yelled at her all the time that you brought home diseases to our house. You must have sat on a toilet bowl. And, you know, people back before me were really naive. And it took her many years to realize this had nothing to do with her. But when men sit and blame women for this, it makes me ill.
Yeah. When I got chlamydia, my husband at the time told me that I got it from my OBGYN. From dirty medical equipment. And it took me 20 years. Yeah, I wasn't having sex with my OBGYN, but just, you know, he said her office must be filthy, and she gave you medical equipment, and that's how you got chlamydia. It took me 20 years to get up the nerve to ask a couple OBGYNs if that was possible. By then, I had already left my husband, that I knew he was gay, and I had come to terms with all of it. So I would just ask, you know, my current OBGYN and other doctors that I met, is that a thing that could happen? And they all kind of laughed. You know, of course not. You get the video from that. But at the time he said it, I was pregnant with our second child, and I needed to believe him. So I did.
That's the problem. We need to believe in order for us to keep going on, because everything around us is so ruined. So that is the problem. We don't understand these things. We're sexually naive. We haven't had the experience. They know how to outwit us. Mine would always shout me down to shut me up, as I like to say, you know, because I'm not a fighter by nature. And I like peace and harmony in a relationship. I'm looking to laugh, not fight.
Right.
And he would always, you know, yell at me. And so I just, in the beginning, I would fight a little bit. But after a while, he not only fought with me, he knew how to push every button that made me feel broken, you know, taking away any sense of who I was. And so I would just stop arguing. I just did what he wanted.
Yes, amazing. Very happy on most levels. I could never fulfill him sexually, but in every other way, he was. He was a very fortunate man until I left.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure he doesn't appreciate who you were.
Oh, no. And that's fine.
How lucky was that little wife who would support him? No, it's really a shame.
He'll find other things to replace the services I provided. And he's fine.
So, Chris, now that you're in your new relationship, what other perks have you found besides the bedroom?
Well, don't discount the bedroom. It's a really fantastic perk of being in a relationship with a straight man. But you're right, that's not the only difference. He's genuinely interested in my welfare. And he pays attention to me in a way that lets me know that he is concerned about me and finds me interesting. You know, I've known him, like I said, since 2011, and I posted on Facebook in a couple places today that today he and I went out to lunch, and I did as I always do when we go to a restaurant. I found my seat where I had my back to the wall and my face towards the door, and that's where I sat down. And today he asked me, he said, I've been meaning to ask you this. Why do you always do that? If I don't pull out a chair for you, you always sit with your back to the wall and watching the entrance to wherever we go. And I told him, you know, I got used to doing that, watching for my ex-husband because I was afraid he was going to come after me. But just the fact that my boyfriend will look at me and not push for information, not demand that I be anything, but he wants to understand me, not because I am an enemy that he needs to manipulate and defeat, but because I am someone he absolutely treasures. It's mind-blowing.
And I think that's the biggest adjustment that I found, too, Chris, is that, you know, believing that somebody could really love you for who you are and not for who you're not.
Yeah, it's strange. You know, last week we went to the National Museum of Women in the Arts, and my ex-husband never in a million years would have taken that afternoon because, you know, women in the
Mine never would have gone anywhere that I wanted to go. We always had to do it his way.
Yes.
Was yours like that too?
Absolutely. He only went to places where he wanted to go. Generally, that meant he would go to see his friends or his family and movies he liked. He would not do things that I might suggest because he would say they were gay, those things, or because he didn't want to be pussy-whipped into going to an exhibit of women in the arts, you know, or something like that. So, was not the least bit interested in doing something because I wanted to do it. Whereas David will ask me on a Friday evening, so what do you want to do this weekend? And I'll suggest a couple things, and he'll say, yes, let's do that. That's a great idea. And every time, I'm just shocked. Holy cow. This guy thinks that what I think is valuable, what I like is worth liking, what I want to do is something he's willing to try. It's amazing.
It is amazing, and it's a totally different feeling that you're validated instead of being ignored, right?
Yes, I am a human being again. In a way that I never really was while I was married to my ex. It's an adjustment because I'm not used to it at all, even after a few years, but it's worth the work to get used to being treated like a human being.
And I think it's a wonderful thing that you waited so long for something so wonderful to come along. And you don't have to make permanent plans for the rest of your life. You're just enjoying your life right now, right?
Absolutely. I'm having a fantastic time pretty much all the time.
And that's the best, I think, that your goal can be in life, right?
You know, it's working for me.
I think it's different when you're younger and you're just starting out and you want to have a family. You know, I think as you get older, you're looking for something different. You're not looking to raise kids again. No, you're looking to enjoy yourself with somebody in a relationship. And I think that's what men can offer you, what your husbands are supposed to be offering you, but they can't offer you because they're gay.
Right.
So at least there are people out there who can appreciate you for who you are and what you are, and not try to make you so much different or turn into something they want you to keep you down. So I think that in itself is a wonderful thing, right?
Absolutely. You're right. My boyfriend is a good father. He's a good father to his children. And in many ways, a much better father to my children in a little bit of time they spend together than my ex-husband is to his own kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's probably more interested in what they're doing than your ex-husband is.
Yes.
In a genuine way, not in a pretend way.
Right. He finds them interesting. He finds conversation with them interesting, which is something that my ex-husband still can't do.
I don't think they can make that same connection, Chris. I really don't. I believe that a lot of these guys cannot make an emotional connection with their straight sons because they're not straight.
Right. And I think that for my ex, I think he needed to have a wife and he needed to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what they signify to the outside world. But that doesn't mean, like some people say, I really want to have a baby because I'm going to love that baby. For him, I really need to have a daughter so that my mother will love me. You know? So when he ended up with four sons, he was very disappointed. And he doesn't know what to do with them because he didn't really see them as anything other than a means toward getting his mother to care about him. So he's not really connected to them.
I'm trying to think. No, I don't think I'm going to be able to figure out that either. I think you're going to be the one who has to take the lead and keep them going, and maybe David can help with that too.
Yeah, he does. You know, he gives them advice on car shopping and stuff like that. You know, they can talk to him about stuff that they wouldn't talk to their father about. Even though some of those things, you know, my ex-husband knows how to buy a car. He could give them that kind of advice, but they know not to ask.
I don't think they're capable of giving that kind of attention to someone for any long period of time.
No, not really.
I mean, that's my opinion from what I've seen.
Yeah, definitely. In my husband's case, that is the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, thankfully, your life has turned around. Thankfully,
yes,
you're going in a better direction. All the time it's getting better, right?
I'm choosing the direction, which is... You know, I'm not following my ex-husband on whatever whim he thinks is going to make him happy. I'm making choices that make sense to me, and they're working out very well. And I have a partner in my life who sees me as every bit as capable as he is. And in some cases, he thinks I have better ideas than he does. So he and I are equal, so we can make decisions together that impact us in a way that we both feel comfortable.
So I think for tonight, Chris, we've really learned that you can turn your life around. You don't have to stay oppressed. You can walk away. There can be a lot of hits and a lot of sacrifices, but you can regain your freedom. And if anybody needs help or needs support, you just have to write to me at bondk@aol.com. If you'd like to get on my newsletter list, my monthly newsletter list, just write to me and let me know. Or if you're interested in coming to our healing weekend that Chris will be joining me at, right, Chris?
Absolutely. Wouldn't it be?
And you can actually meet Chris in person, which would be dynamite. I can't wait to see her again. Then you can also get in touch with me and write to me and ask about the healing weekend. So, Chris, I really want to thank you so much for joining us again, and hopefully I can impose on you, you know, another 6 months to come back and tell your story
because
there's always new people, new aspects. And thank you so much for everything you do for so many of our women in our support network. You are really there for them. And I love you for it. And I just love you.
I love you too, buddy.
All right, sweetie. So you take care, and to all of our listeners, have a wonderful week, have a wonderful night, and I'm only a click away. All right, take care, and goodbye.
Bye.